The policy package in the House Armed Services Committee's defense bill includes several measures meant to address hazing. Congress and the Government Accountability Office both say DOD has not done enough to track and punish behavior that crosses the line between rites of passage and downright meanness. Congresswoman Judy Chu is the prime sponsor of that legislation. Her nephew, Harry Liu, took his own life after abuse by fellow Marines. She says the military's first step should be to come up with a common definition of hazing.
The DOD has not defined it. That actually is a problem that we are trying to address with my bill and with the amendment that is now in the House version of the NDAA. It is so important to define it and to make clear to service members what does consist of hazing.
And is that a relatively straightforward exercise in terms of coming up with that definition in your mind? Is it a matter of them have just not having bothered to do it, or is that it's actually a difficult problem?
I do believe that the Department of Defense has viewed each of these hazing incidents as isolated. They don't want to necessarily address it as an overall situation. I do think that it is somewhat difficult to define in their terms, and we have left it up to them to define it, but there are some cases that are so very obvious that they definitely need to be addressed.
Aside from coming up with definitions, what else would your bill do?
My bill covers the four elements that were recommended by the GAO report, the Government Accountability Office's report. One is to require the Department of Defense to submit an annual report to Congress to ensure that anti-hazing policies are implemented consistently. Secondly, it would require the DOD to improve existing training to help service members better identify and respond to hazing at all command levels. Then it would mandate that the DOD issue department-wide guidance on collecting the data, and in fact, we have included a Department of Defense recommendation that there be a database that is similar to the sexual assault database, which crosses all the different branches of the military and makes clear what should be reported and how it should be reported, and includes protected classes such as race and religion. And finally, it requires the DOD to evaluate the prevalence of hazing through department-wide surveys. And that is so that we know overall what is the problem, what progress is being made.
Right. And that was one thing I was wondering, even absent that data, do you have a sense of any kind as to how prevalent these, as you said, egregious cases are throughout the armed services?
I do not know. But what I do know from the reports that were given to us due to my request from earlier legislation, that the reporting is very, very inconsistent. It's hard to make heads or tails of it because the criteria is so different from branch to branch. But what I also know is that hazing is destructive to the military. It has a negative impact on military retention. It doesn't create a bond within a unit. That even one case should be a serious concern for our military.
Sure. And you brought up sexual assault. And it seems to me that in some ways this hazing does share some characteristics with sexual assault, in that tracking it and preventing it kind of depends on victims being willing to come forward and fellow service members not being willing to be bystanders. Is the military, as far as you can tell, communicating those messages on hazing in the way that it's at least started to do with sexual assault?
No, I don't believe it is. They have policies that say that hazing should not be tolerated, but from branch to branch, there are great differences with regard to whether people are required to report it or whether they even define hazing very clearly. So there is a great deal of uncertainty unless we work on these issues that are contained within my bill.
Once we do have better data and a centralized military-wide database, is the objective with that, is the idea that it would allow the military services themselves to better police their own ranks and punish hazing where it does occur, or more as sort of a future guide for policymakers like you to do more legislation in this area?
Well, this addresses both. I think that there needs to be congressional oversight of this issue. That's why I have requested the annual reports. We would be eager to see what kind of progress is being taken place from year to year. But I also think that it's so important for the Department of Defense to be able to evaluate its own progress. They need to see that there is a serious issue here, and they need to see it through concrete data. Certainly, if we can't make heads or tails of the current reports, they certainly can't, which means that this issue is really not being addressed in a very serious way. It is my hope that with this bill and with this database, that supervisors would then take hazing seriously, that they would actually stop it before it occurs, and that nobody has to really experience any kind of hazing or the serious consequences that occurs. But if it does occur, then I hope that with this database that those who are the victims will feel like they can come forward and report it, and that something will be done about it.
I want to go back to where we started, which is the matter of definitions. And I know you said that it's difficult for the military to define in their terms, but in everyday layman's terms, how would you describe the difference between something that is genuinely or ought to be a punishable offense and, as we talked about earlier, just spree to core things? Because I think there's probably people in the military who would strongly disagree about where that line is.
Well, of course, there was my my nephew who was punched and kicked for 3.5 hours and made to dig a foxhole with all kinds of equipment on his back. The contents of a sandbag were released so as to smother him. And 20 minutes after this torture of 3.5 hours, he climbed into the foxhole that he was made to dig and shot himself to death. And then there's Denny Chen. That was a case that occurred only a few months later. Denny Chen was tortured for 6 weeks by his superiors, who dragged him across his back, across gravel so that it bled. They threw rocks at him as though he were an artillery target. They forced him to wear a construction hat and talk in Chinese, even though none of the other soldiers spoke the language, but it was to definitely ridicule him. He was called Gook, Chink, and Dragon Lady. And finally, after the 6 weeks, he killed himself. So I would say that there are clear situations where there is hazing. And if this kind of treatment is just being written off as corrective punishment, then I think there's something severely wrong with our military.
Right. And very sorry for your family's loss on the incident that directly impacted your family. But in cases that are as egregious as the ones that you just cited, where I think everyone would agree that those are completely unacceptable and illegal, is the military treating at least those as seriously as they should be?
No, definitely not. I actually went to the jury trials of my nephew's torturers, and of the three, two were let go without any punishment, and one had 1 month of confinement. The military needs to be able to deal with this hazing, and hazing has no place within our military. Our military does so much for us. Our soldiers work so hard for us, and we owe it to them to make sure that they are protected.
That's Congresswoman Judy Chu talking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.